That's my baby girl. So you gotta go through me. If you call my house, you're gonna get me. Okay? Melissa, can you give me my lights, please? Thank you. So how's everybody tonight? Good. Good. Okay. Melissa, you're back there somewhere. Excuse me. My lights, please. Thank you very much. There we go. See, she was so enraptured, they were talking. You know how girls are sometimes, right? She never forgets, usually. It's just I haven't been up here for a while. You know what I want to do tonight? I'm going to unplug this, Chad, so just mute the guitar. I'll trip over it and break it. Ready? Here I go. Okay, thank you. Tonight what I want to do is I'm going to start a series. I'm going to share with you tonight the single most important principle in all of life. So I want you to listen very carefully. There is no principle more important than what I'm going to share with you tonight. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever planted anything, maybe a little garden or something when you're a little kid, one of those chia pets, chia, you know, one of those dopey things, or maybe a little seedling in a foam cup and watched it grow in your window, or maybe you're raised on the farm. Anybody? Oh, I'm glad two people here. Very good. That's great. That's great. We got an environmentally friendly group here. What happens when you plant a watermelon seed? What grows? You sure? You sure it's not a cantaloupe? What happens if you plant an apple seed? You get an apple. What happens if you plant a corn seed? You guys are really sharp. I knew I was talking to the right audience. So let me ask you this question. Have you ever read or heard or seen of anyone, anywhere, who planted, let's say, a pine seed and a coconut tree grew? Never. Very good answer. Never. You cannot plant a watermelon seed and get honeydew melon. You can't plant a soybean seed and get corn. You have just learned the single most important principle in all of life. And it's found in the Bible. I'm going to read it to you in just a moment. And that is this. You will always reap what you sow. Always. And I'm going to talk with you over the next 3 weeks about choices. The choices that you make in your life. You know, a lot of people will tell you that you are a victim of random chance, or that you are the sum total of your genetic makeup, and your life will be no more nor any less than what you are genetically and what you were given when you were a kid. And I want to tell you, that is a crock of crap. It's a lie. It's a lie. If I did not believe that, I would quit what I do for a living. If I did not believe that, I would have no hope whatsoever in my life. If I did not think that as I look forward to the future, I can make changes in my life. And you can too. A lot of people you see think that their life is the accumulation of randomness. It's not. Your life is the accumulation of the choices that you make or do not make. God has given you and I the incredible power of choice. He's given every single person in the world freedom to choose. Now, I'll give you, and I understand, that when a baby's born, they don't have a choice what family they're born into. They don't have a choice whether they have good parents or bad parents or in-between parents. They don't have a choice if they happen to be on a block where there's a bully. I grew up in those kind of environments. There were bullies. It wasn't exactly exciting growing up with the name Darling. Now it's okay. I'm okay with that name. It's kind of like being a boy named Sue. Darling. Darling, darling. Oh, my darling. Darling, want to fight? Want to fight, darling? You know, it wasn't much fun. But as you get older, and as you reach your teenage years, which most of you are a little bit beyond, some of you are still there, guess what? Life is in front of you, not behind you. And you can decide how you want to view the past and what impact you want to allow the past to have on your future. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, do not be misled or tricked or deceived. Remember that you cannot ignore God and get away with it. You will always reap what you sow. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful desire will harvest the consequence of decay and death. But those who live to please God will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So don't get tired of doing what's good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for you'll reap a harvest of blessing if you don't give up. Now I'm going to show you over the next 3 weeks how you can make a difference in your own life. And I think some of it may surprise you. I think some of it may make you think in a little different way than you have before. Basically, poor choices equal a poor life. Good choices equal a good life. I am not saying that just because you make good choices doesn't mean some bad things won't happen to you. They will. But it won't matter to you. You see, because you understand that you can choose your attitude. You understand that you can choose your perspective. You understand that instead of being stuck with lemons, you can make lemonade. Now you may think, oh, that's such tacky baloney. Well, you can decide to believe that and be stuck with the life you presently have. Or you can decide to believe what God says. And what God is saying when he says you can't ignore God, what he's saying is you can't ignore the laws of God. You can't ignore the laws of God and get away with it. Over time, it will catch you. It's a little bit like someone who decides to jump off a building, a very tall building, believing that they can somehow defy gravity, believing that somehow gravity will not have an effect on them. Next thing you know, they jump and something bad happens to them. Or it's like the person who doesn't believe too much alcohol will affect them. You ever been around someone like that? And they want to drive. They can hardly walk a straight line. Alcohol's kind of fried the brain a little bit. You know, they're not seeing things clearly. Alcohol, enough of it, has the same effect on every person. It dulls your senses. It makes you act stupid. And the Bible's been saying that for 2,000 years. Who has bloodshot eyes? Who does stupid things? Those who linger long over drink. Those who love mixed wine. Though you hit them, they will get back up and say, what? Give me another drink. Alcohol makes you stupid. Enough of it in your system makes you stupid. Every single time, it makes you stupid. You cannot ignore the laws that God has put in place and get away with it. And you cannot ignore this. If you sow bad things in your life, bad habits in your life, you are going to reap a very painful life. Let me give you some examples tonight. Sociologists tell us, those that study human nature, that we make 2,500 choices on average every day. 2,500 choices that are all within the realm of your power, your sovereignty. Whether to brush your teeth or not, whether to floss your teeth or not, whether to use the green stuff or not, whether to eat a healthy breakfast or a junky breakfast, whether to eat any breakfast, whether to be on time for work or late for work, whether to live by an alarm clock or sleep in, whether to be diligent or lazy, whether to be positive or negative, whether to be a blame shifter or take responsibility for what your life could be. Here are the types of choices that we make in our lives. This is by no means inclusive, but there's a lot of them here. You make financial choices. When I was a kid, I was one of those kids that, quite honestly, I didn't have an example around me as a child, nothing I could do about this, of people who saved money. My father, he earned it and spent it. Earned it and spent it. Or at least if he didn't, I never knew there was any other thing he was doing with it. I was the same way. I made money, lots of money, spent it, spent it, spent it. Never once did I save a dime. No one impressed it upon me. But even if they had, I was the kind of guy that lived for the moment. Spend it, spend it, spend it. You know what Proverbs says? It says, those who are in love with wine and pleasure will never be rich. You see, there's a lot of people I've known over the years that always make excuses why they're broke. Instead of looking in the mirror and saying, you know what, I need to make better decisions with my money. I need to quit letting it all go through my fingers, and I need to learn to live below my stream of income. Oh no, there's always a reason why we don't have money. It took me years to change that habit in my life, but it changed. And now it's my regular, right now, I'm more excited about how I can save. I mean, I'm serious. I'm a fanatic about this. Instead of going to just Cub, I go to Walmart for a few things, Cub for a few groceries, and Sam's Club for a few groceries. Started saving me $40 to $50 every week. Someone says, isn't that a little too much to drive? I don't know. You know, my car gets 30 miles a gallon. It's all within an 8-mile distance, and $1 a gallon is a lot less. $50 a week is a lot more to save than $1 a gallon. Simple diligence, simple thinking, forced myself to make better choices, spiritual choices, relational choices. You can choose good friends or bad friends. Let me just be frank with you. One of the secrets of my life is that for the last 27 years, I've chose wonderful people to be friends with. I don't mean that I don't try to help needy people. I don't mean people have to be perfect to be around me. I mean I've chosen people to be around me who I would like to be like. Not who I would like to be liked by, but who I would like to be like. I just received a letter the other day from a dear friend, actually my wife did, from his wife, and I've known them 27 years. They have 9 children. His name is Dennis. Dennis, if you met him, he's not super charismatic. He's just a wonderful, nice man. Fought in Vietnam, came back from Vietnam, started following Christ. He and I used to do music together. In front of people like this. He lived his life for God, and he was a little ahead of me. He's about 60 now. And his family inspired me. I watched how he trained his kids. I watched how he disciplined them. I watched the love he gave them. I learned from him at some little conferences because he was my pastor. And he's been a lifelong friend. Brent Knox. It's been my privilege to hang around Brent. Some of you don't know him. He and I founded Evergreen together. And he and I are about the same age. He was my pastor in Ames. And I'd watch him and I'd hug around him. I was in church. I have been in church at least 2 to 3 times a week for 27 years. 27 years I have been involved with other Christian men and women who are trying to live morally, live upright, be men and women of integrity for 27 years. Believe me, it rubbed off. It rubbed off on me. We make moral choices. Many of you here are making moral choices, and some of you here, you're making bad moral choices. And I promise you, they'll come back to haunt you. You'd not believe how many individuals that sowed their wild oats. And I was one of those that did that before I came to Christ. You know what happens every time, in every situation that I've known of? When the couple's honest, they're having problems in their physical relationship. Do you know why? You think you won't pay the piper. Here's what starts to happen. You start comparing your spouse to all the other women you made love with. Happens every time. It happens every single time. And I've had visits on the phone with women that call in tears. Mark, I don't know what to do. I thought I'd be more satisfied with my spouse. Now I'm stuck with them. I got to live out this commitment, but I don't know if I want to. You know why? Because you were immoral before you were married. Now God forgives it. Listen to me. God forgives it. My goodness, I would not be here if I did not believe in the redemption and the transforming power of Christ. But there are still consequences, and the consequences must be overcome. And it would be better if you didn't have them to deal with. choose the right path. Because you will have to overcome the challenges that it will give you. Verbal choices, hygiene choices, eating choices. To me, one of the most inspiring stories on TV, and it's a commercial, is Jared, the Subway guy. Jared didn't do any of that for money. He had no idea Subway would make a commercial out of him. Here's a man, 400, close to 500 pounds, decided, I'm tired of my life. I'm tired of not being able to go to the house. I'm tired of being embarrassed. And he saw Subway commercial. He saw about their vegetable sandwich and their other sandwich with only less than 6 grams of fat. And he decided, I need to change my life. And he began to walk around the block once, just barely being able to go. And 240 pounds later, he's inspired lots of other people with a simple little plan. Just change some habits. You can sit around and blame your mom. You can sit around and blame your dad. They fed me Cheetos and Mountain Dew and donuts, Krispy Kreme every day. Well, that was then, and this is now. And you can make changes in your life. And if you don't build Rome in a day, you may not overcome these things in a day, but you can choose a different life for yourself. My wife grew up in a family where there was no real lots of affection, love. She had no younger brothers and sisters. Her mother was not a good role model of loving children. Kathy was regularly yelled at. If anyone ever did tuck her in at night, it was her father, not her mother. My wife, at 23, became a mother, and she has been the finest mother I've ever met. She absolutely loves children. She changed, she learned, she adapted, she embraced motherhood that her mother did not embrace. You are not destined to walk the same path, for you have been given by God the power to choose which way you want to go. We have thought choices. The song that Jessica sang that I'd ask her to do this song. You know what the song's about? A friend that has anorexia and bulimia. That's not a hereditary disease. You don't catch that like the common cold. You make decisions to believe lies about physical beauty and about your own body. And let me tell you, I have had young women in my home who wanted to talk, and I'll never forget one young lady came to my home. This was years ago. She walked in and she handed me an envelope. She said, I want you to look inside there. And I opened up that envelope, and I thought, I would swear to God, I was looking. They were black and white photos of someone in their underwear, and they looked like they're from Auschwitz. And she said to me, that's me. And I began to cry. I said, you got to be kidding. That's me, Mark. For years, I told myself I was fat. Those pictures right there, I mean, Ally McBeal looked meaty compared to this young lady in these pictures. And she said, that picture? Yeah, I was fat there. It's a lie. It's a lie. And let me tell you something. You sow enough lies in your mind, you sow enough wrong beliefs, and we're going to get to this next week, you will destroy your life. The Bible says, be careful what you think. Your thoughts run your life. And you can decide to change the thoughts that are in your mind. I'll be the first one to say, sure, there's things that come into my brain I wish they didn't. But I don't have to entertain them. I don't have to decide to leave them there and ruminate on them. But I had to learn that. As a young man, all of my self-concept was very self-critical. Self-critical. And I would just sit and feed on negativity and self-criticism. It was nobody doing it to me. It was Mark. I pushed the play button over and over and over and over and over. And after a while, you know something interesting? After a while, you begin to like the pity party. We don't ever want anybody to know that. But after a while, we get comfortable with the pity. But we're not changing. Our life isn't what it could be. And your life can be so much more. We make entertainment choices, lifestyle choices, time choices. We make health and exercise choices. We make new skill choices, hobby choices, learning choices, vocational choices, reading choices, personal growth choices, attitude choices, value choices, and the list can go on and on and on. You know what the greatest challenge in life is? The greatest challenge in life is to overcome the obstacles that life throws at us. We overcome the obstacles by making choices. Now listen carefully. Choices to adapt. Choices to be courageous. Choice to not give in to despair. The choice to change. The choice to be persistent. The choice not to blame others, but to take responsibility and make the most of the life that we have been given. If you want a different harvest, then you have to plant a different seed. Man, let me give you an example of what I mean. When I was young and engaged, I had learned the trade as a machinist. I'm very, very dexterous. I'm very good with my hands. I have very good eye-hand coordination. So a friend of mine, shortly after I came to Christ, got me a job in a machine shop. And we did production lathe work. And lo and behold, within a few months, I was producing the most pieces per hour. And that's how you got paid, with the least amount of errors. And you had micrometers, and everything had to be measured because you had to ship this stuff off. And you wanted to have the, it's kind of like typing. You wanted to see who could type the fastest words with the least amount of errors. You wanted to see who could produce the most product with the least amount of defects. So I got really good. Really good. So I finally moved to Ames, Iowa for my spiritual life. There was a church there, a little like this, that I knew I needed to get involved in where I could grow. I needed to get around some healthy people. So I went to every machine shop in that town. By then I knew Kathy and we were talking marriage shortly after we got engaged. And I went to every machine shop looking for work. Nobody had work. You know, I didn't realize until about 3 years ago that the late 70s and early 80s was a terrible recession. I never knew that. When I was 23, I never watched the news. Now it all makes sense to me why it was so difficult of a time in my life. But I didn't know it then. And I kept going from business to business. No work, no work, no work. So finally I got a job at filling fertilizer bags. And then I just began to adapt. A friend of mine, he hung drywall for a living. Wasn't exactly my cup of tea. Have you ever tried to hammer upside down with a big hammer that looks like a hatchet? See, today it's just screw gun. Everything's... When I was hanging drywall, you'd stand on your toes, push your head into the ceiling, hold it up with your head. I'm not lying. Like 15 feet, try vaulted ceilings. That's really fun. When they're in an angle and you're going like this. And then you're holding a nail and you're supposed to be strong enough to push it into the gypsum board. And then some of the guys and everybody, I'm like 5'8", 132 pounds at that time. Everybody around us is like these 6 foot big beer bellies, and they lean the drywall on their belly and then lift it up. And then they take their hammer, they'd stick it in, they go boom, and it'd be in. And I remember my first 3 weeks there, I'd put a hole in the drywall, I'm trying to pound, and my arm, I thought I was going to die. I made a choice. You know what my choice was? To adapt and survive. I didn't come home to Kathy, well, we weren't living together, but when we saw each other, say, you know, this sucks, my life's so bad, I trained as a machinist, where's God, nothing's working out, blah, 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 give in to despair and live on welfare. I adapted to my environment. I took what I could get. I hated it. I hated it. And the guy I worked for was not a nice man. Well, then that ended. And I got a job as a cook. Well, I didn't really get a job as a cook. I got a job as a cigarette picker-upper. Cigarette butt picker-upper. And I walk around the Ramada Inn, and Maya was the assistant to the maintenance man. I'm picking up cigarette butts. I'm picking up old martini glasses and walking around and just trying to stay positive and say, God, I know you got something good. You also know I'm getting married. This is going to be a heck of a way to make a living for my family, picking up cigarette butts. I'm the butt man. All right, this is a good thing. But you know what? Now listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. I was about 21, 22 at the time. I made a decision. You know what the decision I made? I'm going to be the best cigarette butt picker-upper these guys have ever had. Do you know why? So that when an opening comes that will pay me $1 an hour more, they will choose me. That was the choice I made. And pretty soon, big old manager comes up to me, and big guy, short, big, like Dukes of Hazzard guy, Boss Hogg. He comes up to me, he says, Mark, he says, we got an opening for a cook. I hate cooking. Okay, I mean, I never even cooked before this. To me, please don't take this wrong, I've changed since then, you can ask my wife, but cooking was what girls do. And I'm not going to cook. I'm not going to break eggs. I'm not going to stand behind a counter making toast for people. I'm a machinist. I'm a man. Let me get greasy and oily. That's just, you know, I've grown since then. But so he says, Mark, we need a grill cook. And the other downer is you have to be here at 5:30 in the morning. Now, in those days, it's a little different than today. I'm not a morning person. He said, well, he said, now it pays $1 an hour more than you're making now. I said, I'm there. I'm your man. One day is all he trained me. One day. Showed me how to make the pancake batter, how to make the eggs, and I had to keep it all in my head. And then you know what happened? I was the only cook and 5 waitresses in an open restaurant. And the 3rd week, you know what happened? The NCAA wrestling finals happened at Hilton Coliseum. And you know what happened in the restaurant? 55 mean, hungry wrestlers sat down at the same time. Yeah. Mark, where's my order? Mark, where's my order? And I'm back there, eggs are falling on the ground. Finally, I was so frustrated, I smashed an egg. Just, if it's going to fall, I smash it against the wall, since I got to clean it up later anyway. Then I went back to flipping my pancakes, and I'm thinking, oh, those guys, they think they're hot? Well, wait till they see how hot I get their stuff out. And I'm back there, and I'm moving, and I'm going, and I'm, you know what I determined to be? The best grill crook Ramadian ever had. Nobody was there cheering me on. In fact, you know what happened? There was a guy there. I'm not going to get into this story too much because I don't want you to get the wrong impression. There was this one guy. He was a little odd. And he would follow me, and he'd stand there. You dropped eggs. And he'd laugh at me the whole time. And then the chef had the audacity to tell me, I want you to teach him how to cook. I said, you've got to be kidding. This moron does not want to learn to cook. He wants to stand and get in my way like he does when your back is turned and make my life miserable. And that's exactly what he tried to do. One day he followed me into the freezer and I had a big 5-gallon. He would sneak up on you real quiet. So I'm walking and I'm back in a big open freezer and I got this 5-gallon bucket of hot soup. And I'm going to put it on the shelf, but it won't fit there. So I turn like this. He was right on top of me, hit me. The thing fell, went my face all over my clothes, and I hit him. I admit it, I hit him. In the arm. Okay? And I regretted it. It was awful. It was a terrible thing to do. It was a really terrible thing to about ruin my testimony. I was young, I was dumb, I was foolish. And it was the most, you know what? You know what? I didn't quit. It was the most humiliating thing in the world to walk in that office the next morning and have this sailor chef say words and combinations I'd never heard at me and then say the worst of all, and you call yourself a Christian. And I said, I do, and I was really wrong. And I walked out with my tail between my legs. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to quit so bad. I want to say, you know, screw you, God. I'm so sick of you messing with my life. You give my friends jobs. What about me? And I didn't get bitter. And I didn't quit. And I didn't give in. And I determined and redoubled my efforts to be the best assistant you've ever had. And eventually, I was cooking for the banquets. Eventually, my wife and I lived in a sorority. I didn't want to do that either, but I determined to be the best cook my wife and I, that sorority ever had. What did I do? I adapted to the environment that was presented to me. I took what I could get. I made changes. I watched my attitude, and I did what I had to do. I took responsibility for my life, and that's what I mean by the power of choice. I kept my eye on the prize. I knew where it is God wanted Kathy and I to go. And I did not lose sight of where God wanted us to go. Now, those days I thought were hard. Some of those are nothing compared to things that happened to me now. And I'll tell you a little secret. There have been times this last couple years that I've cried harder than I've ever cried in my life. That I've been more afraid than I've ever been afraid in my life. And that I've wanted to quit more than I've ever wanted to quit in my life. But 25 years of sowing persistence is saving me now. Because in this very, very difficult times, all that I sowed now has strengthened, even though I don't feel strong some days, to keep just almost like closing my eyes and saying, God, I just got to do what I've been doing for 27 years. Put one foot in front of the other, one foot in front of the other, and know God and say over and over, I say 1,000, if I say it once, 1,000 times a day, you're for me, you're for me, you're for me. You got to work this out, God. You will work this out. I don't know how you'll work this out. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that. I'm very, very serious. I would totally and completely give in to despair. Now you have got your whole life ahead of you, see? Your whole life. I'm old enough to be almost every person's father in this room. You've got your whole life ahead of you, and I want you to have a good life. God wants you to have a great life. That doesn't mean it won't have difficulties. That doesn't mean it won't have challenges. It's the challenges that help. It's the process of life. Embrace that process. Embrace your freedom of choice. And decide, what are the better choices that I want to make? Next week we're going to talk about taking charge of your thoughts and your belief systems. Please come back. Please bring a friend. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of your friends, that have bought into a lie. They really don't think their life could be better. They really don't think they deserve anything better. Nothing could be further from the truth. God wants to give you an awesome life. And by His grace, we can help you through His Word, show you how to get that. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You tonight for the Word of God that gives us hope, for Your Son that gives us life. I know personally, Lord, there have been literally thousands of choices that I've had to make over the last 27 years of my life. And looking back, I tell you, Lord, I'm so thankful that You helped me understand that when I read Your Word, You convicted my heart. You pointed out error in my life. And You show me, Mark, I'm not trying to be down on you. I'm just telling you, if you keep driving your car with no oil in it, you're going to ruin the engine. And that's what You're telling me about my life. If you keep doing that, Mark, in your relationship with your wife, you're going to ruin your relationship with your wife. If you don't learn, Mark, to control your mouth, well then, you're going to do severe damage to your relationship with your loved ones. And you know, Lord, what a challenge it is to control the tongue. But I just ask You, God, that You'd inspire these young men and women here today, and that You'd help them to grasp this truth. Whatever they sow, what choices they make over and over again, eventually, that is their life. Good or bad. In Jesus' name, amen.